think the first time that I spoke here at Carlisle, I think I was just in my 30s, just barely in my 30s. And Rhoda Mae was still in her 20s. Time flies, doesn't it? Time goes. And what a fellowship it is. And what a joy to be in Christ, to be saved. I praise the Lord for a happy and a joyous life, and for you and the joy we have together in Him. And I was thinking of a passage of Scripture I'd like to look with you at today. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians. And let's turn to chapter 3. The book of Philippians, and let's turn to chapter 3. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. Verse 1. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel and of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Then he says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. May the Lord bless the reading of His precious word to our hearts. Let us bow in just a moment of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You for Your love to us. We thank You for Your blessing, for Your glory that You've given to us. We thank You for salvation by grace through faith. Truly, You've been wonderful to us, and we thank You for Your blessing and Your help to us. And we thank You for the blood that was shed for our sins. We thank You for each one who's here today. Bless each one and keep each one safe in the arms of Jesus. To be one who's not trusted the Savior, may that one believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We do pray that for those who've been mentioned who are sick, we pray for them. You know them, dear Lord, and we pray that You will just bless them each and every one. Go with us now through this day and through this week. We'll give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to look at a couple of verses with you here together. Notice, if you will, verse 12, 13, and 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ. Christ Jesus, especially now verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want us to think today, if we would, about some things to forget. You know, this is Christmas time. It's the end of the year, and a new year will soon begin. What I was thinking about, some things that Paul mentions to us, I believe here, that we need to forget. Now, I don't know about you. I've got a pretty good forgetter. How about you? But sometimes I find that the things I forget, I don't. And sometimes the things I ought not to forget, sometimes I forget those. But dear friend, as I think about it, there's some things that we need to forget. And he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, I don't think that Paul meant we weren't supposed to remember the past. You can get out the old picture albums, and it's fun to enjoy them, isn't it? We notice how much we've changed through the years, but we enjoy doing that or thinking of the old times. I think that's all right. That's not what he's talking about. I believe he's saying to us, we're not to live in the past. We're to remember that we are pressing on. We're going for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Oh, I hope you're saved today, dear friend. I hope you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I often say humorously that I was born at a very early age, and I think most of us were very early age. But I was saved when I was quite young. I was just a lad of about 6 years of age. So I've been saved a long time. Down at Silas City, I was talking to a lady some time ago, much older than I am, but I said, I bet I'm older than you are in the Lord. And she began to count it up, and sure enough, I was older than she was and had been saved longer than she had. And whether we're saved when we're young or old or wherever, whenever, just praise the Lord if you're saved and you know Him. You realize that Jesus died for you. You've seen yourself a sinner, and you've seen the blood was shed for you, and you've trusted in Christ and Christ alone. Some people say, and I talk with them about the Lord, is that all? Well, so far as I can find in my Bible, that's all, because it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust Him. That's the only way. And we come as a sinner, and He saves us. But as I think of being saved, oh, I want to think here with us as a Christian, there are some things that Paul tells us to put behind us. Notice he says again in verse 13 or verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Now, Paul, as a Christian, never, ever felt that he had already attained, that he had really arrived. You know, when you just get saved, it's so precious, isn't it? Oh, it's so wonderful. And we learn a lot of things in the Word. One thing the Lord taught me many years ago is we know so little of the wonderful blessings of the Lord. When I graduated from college, I never will forget, I said to my mother and father, I said, now, I was just joking. I surely hope that I was. I said, is there anything you want to know? Well, they were the ones that knew. I just didn't know it. They knew so much, and I knew so little, because they had learned it through the experiences of life. And you know, as we go through life, we learn from the experiences of life what it's all about. Paul did not feel that he had ever attained, and may we really as Christians always be pressing on. You know, sometimes a Christian comes to a plateau and feels that, well, I've learned so much and seen so many of these truths. That may be, but dear friend, that is nothing to what there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he tells us concerning that, either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, he wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. To know more of Him and know more of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now he says in verse 13 again, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. One thing I do. That is mentioned several times in Scripture. This one thing, narrowing it down to this one thing. What was the one thing he did? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The one thing was pressing on for the prize. He was thinking of the reward and the blessing of the Christian life, of the high calling of God. Do you notice he says here, forgetting and reaching for? There is the thought of to keep on forgetting. To keep on forgetting the past. And to keep on reaching forth unto those things which are before. There's so much more that we can learn in the school of our Lord. What are some of the things that we need to forget? And I think some of these things can cause us anguish. They can keep us from growing in the Lord. First of all, we need to forget our sins. You say, what? Forget our sins? Well, dear friend, I understand from the Word of God that when Jesus died for my sins, He died for my past sins, for my present sins, and for my future sins. Once and for all, He died on Calvary's cross and took all of my sins. If He hadn't, I couldn't go to heaven. If He hadn't taken all of my sins and died for them, paid with His blood for my sins, and took them all away, there would be no way of being saved, because somewhere on the line we would fail and we would falter. But dear friend, we need to forget our sins because Jesus has taken them away and He has paid for them. Now, obviously, there is in the Christian life, as far as fellowship is concerned, sometimes there may be something in a Christian's life which he needs to deal with. As far as power is concerned, as far as fellowship is concerned, but that's another subject, and we won't even get into that. But as far as salvation is concerned, dear friend, we can forget our sins. Now, take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Micah. In chapter 7, the book of Micah. Now this to me is a very exciting verse because it tells just what the Lord has done for me and for you. The book of Micah in chapter 7. I want you to look with me, if you will, at about verse 16. Micah 7, verse 16. And notice carefully these words because it says, the nation shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like the worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Notice that. And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He returneth not his anger forever, or retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt notice, cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Now notice, sin is put into the depths of the sea. Isn't that wonderful today? Our sins in the depths of the sea, dear friend, as you would think of what Jesus has done for you and for me. You know, they say the sea may be some 30,000 feet deep. They say it may even be deeper than that. They do not know the depths of the sea. And of course, the highest mountain is somewhere around 29,000, 30,000 feet above there. They found out, I believe, one was a little bit higher. But as you think about that, that's a long ways. About 60,000 feet between the depths of the sea and the height of the mountain. And you know, dear friend, that tells how far our sins are put away. That's the wonder of it all. Jesus died for us, and our sins are put away. They're put away in the sea. Someone wrote, the great poet Lord Byron said, there is a pleasure in the pathless woods. There is a rapture on the lonely shore. There is a society where none intrudes by the deep sea and music in its roars. Roll on, thou deep and dark blue ocean, roll. 10,000 fleets sweep over thee in vain. Man marks the earth with ruin. His control stops with the shore. The mighty sea. But when I think of the sea, I think of the fact that my sins are in the depths of the deepest sea, and they are gone. And let's turn to Psalm 103, shall we? Psalm 103. You know, the Word of God is just so exciting, isn't it, to see what all is in the Word of God. Psalm 103. And here's another verse that tells me something of my sins and what the Lord Jesus has done for me. Psalm 103, if you will, and we want to look at verse 12. Verse 12. Psalm 103, and then verse 12 is the one we have. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. You know, the Bible speaks of the Lord as the Lord who moves toward men in His love, and His love reaches out to men, and He takes our sins away through the blood of Jesus Christ, as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways, isn't it? And Jesus has taken all of our sins away. You know, one of the worst things in the world, and many times a Christian even carries it, is guilt. Boy, I'm glad my guilt is gone. That Jesus paid it all. That I can rejoice in the blood, the taking away of sin. And dear friend, as a Christian, enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Jesus has taken your sins away for His own glory. You know, guilt is not an easy thing to live with. But the absence of it is a very precious and wonderful thing. You know, the law brought simply the knowledge of sin. My wife and I were in a grocery store one day. It's down a small town named Ramsour, North Carolina. It's near Siler City, North Carolina, not a well-known area, and not too far from Asheboro, North Carolina. But we stopped in a store there for a little while, and I'm not much of a grocery shopper. I don't know what to get or not, but I go with her, and we got in the line, you know, and I was standing there watching the cashiers were in the lines right on down the way. And there was an older man standing over there in the next booth. And Golda Mae didn't notice it, but she was through with the cart. We didn't have anything, so she gave it a push, and she didn't see it anymore. And then that cart went rolling, and there was a man standing there, and it bumped him. Didn't hurt him, but it gave him a pretty good little bump, you know, and he jumped. And he turns around, and there's a young girl over there, cashier, and she was right cute the way she said it. He looked at her, and she said, "Don't look at me. I didn't do it." He said, "Well, you look so guilty." So they had a laugh going back. I didn't say anything. I didn't say a thing. I just stood there. I'd seen what happened, you know, when she pushed that cart and hit him. I didn't say a word. We went on through it. I held it in. You know, I didn't say anything. We got right out of the store there, and I started laughing. I couldn't hold it back anymore. I said, "Honey, did you see what happened there?" I said, she said, "No." I said, "Well, you gave that car a good push, and it just gave that man a good whack as it went by him, and that's the reason he jumped." She says, "Oh, I didn't know that." You know, and so we laughed. I think we laughed all the way home every time we thought about it. We laughed for another 5 minutes because, you see, she never saw it. She was not aware that the thing had happened, and she didn't know it, and she was very contented in it, and it was no fault of it at all. And you know, that's the way it is about our sins, dear friend. They've been taken away. There's no guilt because Jesus took it for us, and we should not have an awareness of sin in that light because it's been taken away as far as the east is from the west. Isn't it glorious today to realize our sins are washed away? Wasn't it a little chorus we used to sing? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Oh, dear friend, that's good enough for me. Good enough for you to realize our sins are gone and don't keep dragging them up. And I've known Christians in the past who have worried, who have been troubled, and their lives deeply hurt because they kept dragging up sins that were long confessed, forsaken, forgiven. And they could have had the joy and the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder how some people carry on their consciences, the things they do. I was reading in one of our papers around our way the other day. They keep trickling down this thing about a Loomis Fargo that was robbed a couple of years ago. And they've been finding some of the money has trickled down to a lot of people, and a number of people have been brought to trial because of that. A number of sentences given out, and some of the money was laundered and all of that. I thought to myself, how does anyone carry that kind of thing on their conscience and on their heart? What a wonderful thing to be saved, to be a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, let's forget our sins. Jeremiah spoke of the stain of guilt. Oh, there is a weight, dear friend, of sin, but the gospel teaches us that there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. I was reading recently from John Wesley, the preacher who preached in the 1700s, and he wrote these words. He said, "In the evening, I went unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans about a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ. I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt I did trust in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation, and an assurance was given me that He had taken my sins away, even mine, and save me from the law of sin and death." Well, hallelujah, that's a clear-cut testimony, isn't it? Of sin forgiven and being a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for each one that's saved. And if you're not saved, dear friend, oh, we trust that you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. How wonderful it is to be saved and born again of the Spirit of God. There was a young girl that was saved recently down in Silas City, and we had the joy the other day of baptizing her. And what a joy it is to see that Christ saves and brings us to Himself in His glory. We need to forget our sins. Then, dear friend, there's something else we need to forget. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. I want to mention something we need to forget, and we wouldn't think that we need to forget this, but I really believe that we do. Dear friend, we need to forget self. You know, the Lord Jesus said, if any man will come after me, He said, let him deny himself. Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Now, I believe that's talking about discipleship, not salvation. It's talking, I believe, about salvation, following the Lord. But Jesus spoke of denying oneself. You know, the Word of God says that he that loveth his life shall lose it. You know, the very things that you care for and you long for, those are the things that something really happens to. I've never cared anything about a car since years ago when I had a 1954 DeSoto and I treated it like a baby. And one time a brick truck ran in the back of it, and it didn't work. It didn't look so good anymore after that. In fact, I left the windows open that night and never gave much care to it. After that, I took care of it, the maintenance of it. But I realized how the things of life can slip away, and the very thing you try to keep, the very thing you try to have, it will flee you and it will go from you. Oh, dear friend, I believe we need to forget self. We need to forget that. I've got a book on my shelf, just a little paperback book. Do you know what the title of it is? The title of it is How to Be Perfectly Miserable. Now, would you think anybody would write a book on that, How to Be Perfectly Miserable? But you know, that book, I believe they should guarantee you that it would work. Because it names thing after thing that if you would do it, you would be perfectly miserable. It says, think about yourself all the time. It says, then you'll have so many aches and pains, you just won't know what to think of in the world. Just think about yourself all the time. Now, sometimes it's so bad you can't help but think about it. We know those things. But you know what I mean along that line. It said, talk about yourself all the time. Be interested in yourself all the time and don't get out of that. Stay and emphasize self, self, self. And you know, as you come to the end of the book, I certainly believe anyone would be miserable. Have you ever noticed on television there, sometimes they'll aim that camera at someone, and probably that someone is being perfectly natural. But then when they get that camera on them, you know, they start looking like, you know, you can tell they know the camera is on them, and then they lose that naturalness. That naturalness and that real joy of life. Dear friend, I think that Paul would say to us, forget ourselves. And remember, dear friend, it's not I, but Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, as life goes on, one of the things we notice, the greatness of life, the joy of life, is Christ. Christ is everything. And to live in Him and for Him, to know the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man named A.J. Gordon, lived right many years ago, but he was a preacher of the gospel. There was also one named S.D. Gordon. They're easy to confuse because they lived around the same time, were from the same area, and they had both written widely. But A.J. Gordon said something that I read from him that I have never forgotten. And he said this, in every believer's life, there is a cross and there is a throne. He said, if Christ is still on the cross, then self is still on the throne. But he said, if self is on the cross, then Christ is on the throne. That's meant a lot to me in my life, to realize that Christ is on the throne room, should be on the throne room of my life, that Christ died, but He was buried, and that He arose again, and He's coming back again. Dear friend, oh, let's realize that self should be on the cross, and Christ on the throne. We need to forget self, and selfishness, and all of these things, and we need to go on in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Philippians, just back a little bit. Chapter 2 of Philippians. Philippians is so full of these wonderful truths and these wonderful things in it. But here's a strong section of the Word of God. In fact, the whole chapter there says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, verse 2 of Philippians 2, being of one accord, of one mind. We've seen one thing. Here we have one mind. It comes back like one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so forth. One Savior we have. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Notice that. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, self is something we must realize that we need to have self-esteem. You know, we are told in the Word to love our neighbor as ourselves. There is a place for self. And we should realize that. And you know, because our sins are washed away, and the Lord wants us to live for Him, we can have the proper place of self in our lives. The Lord doesn't want us to not have self-esteem. Some people have been hurt somewhere in their lives and don't have the self-esteem. I've heard people say, well, I can't do this, or I can't do that, or I can't do the other. Well, you don't know. You might be able to do it. You know, it's amazing. A lot of things can be done. I've noticed in reading about art and things like that, it's amazing how many people can draw and paint and things like that. It's a very common a gift among people, and many people can do it. And many things that you and I can do, and the Lord wants us to use those gifts that he gives us for him. So there's the proper place, and when children need a good esteem of themselves, and they need to grow on in the Lord. I was in a store recently, and there was a lady in there. She kept saying to this little boy, "Don't you ever do that again." And she told me, she said, "Stand in this circle and don't move out of it." I felt like going to that. I didn't say anything because I don't argue with anybody. I don't argue with anybody. I stay out of all controversy. Just don't go into it. But I felt like going over there and saying, "Lady, what in the world's wrong with you? This is just a boy. This is a boy, and he's got to live. He's got to have room. There is a place for self-esteem, but it says each esteem other better than themselves." Those are strong words. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Dear friend, we are to live and to be other-minded. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer may be for others. Others! Others, Lord! We're living in such a self-centered age. Me, me, me. My. But you know, the real joy of life, dear friend, is when we forget ourselves and lose ourselves in the things of Christ. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Oh, the Lord Jesus said, if we leave houses and lands for Him, He will give us much of a great reward. And what Jesus gives us is always so much better. Well, I think tonight I'll continue along these lines because I haven't really gotten started in. I've said forget our sins and forget self, but there's some other things I think you would like to hear, because some of them, as I think about the things Paul wants us to forget, really give me a thrill to realize I can forget these things and go on in the Lord. But what I want to emphasize here in leaving is to press for the goal. Now, we're all going to heaven, but let's win for Christ. Let's win all the souls we can. Let's do all we can for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was going to college, I had a physical ed teacher. His name was Gil Dodds. He was a world champion miler. He ran the mile in just a little over 4 minutes. He taught phys ed. He was a tremendous teacher. He's with the Lord now. But he was a powerful speaker, and he won many of the world champion races. But I remember one spring while I was away at the time, touring with some group, but I remember during that time when I got back, the thing that I heard so much that had happened on the campus while we were gone. Four young men, and they were track fellows. They were in track. They challenged Gil Dodds to a race by which they would run a quarter of a mile. It was a four-lap mile. You had to go around it four times for the mile. And they challenged Gil Dodds. One man would run one lap, give the baton to the other man. The fresh man would run the second one, the third one, and so on. You know, to make a long story short, Dodds beat them all four. He won the race because he knew how to run, and he knew how to space himself, and he knew when he got going to the finish, I mean, he was wide open. He was running for the goal. You know, I think of the fact that you and I, as Christians, we're reaching for in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, living for Him. And praise the Lord, that testimony can count. And as we go on, as life passes by, oh, dear friend, let's reach forth. Let's press on, as we read here in verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." To win the race in the matter of reward for the Lord Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank You in the name of the Savior today that there are many things that we can forget. If there is a Christian here today, their sins are under the blood, and the devil is always tempting, always accusing. He is the accuser of the brethren. He says, "Oh, well, you just didn't do this right, and you didn't do that right, and what kind of a Christian are you?" And just beats us down. Satan beats us down many a time. May we do as the man did of old and point him to the blood. which was shed on Calvary's cross, and that I'm saved, I'm a new creation in the Lord Jesus. May we forget our sins. May we forsake and confess to you our things in life if we need to in regard to fellowship. But may we realize that as far as heaven is concerned, our sins are washed away. If there be one here who is not saved, may that one, young or old, just receive the Lord Jesus Christ today to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May we forget about self, realizing that the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. May we realize that we're crucified with Christ, and we do not live, but Christ lives in us, and may we live for Christ. May we live for his glory. May we launch forth ever into the deep and think about others and live for Jesus Christ our Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.